The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Hopefully you're wearing a mask. Here's the thing. I thought we should start right off the top with the most important messaging, which is, of course, wear a mask.
Well, I mean, listen, like, I think just in general, I got to say, and actually I wanted to go, first off, Martinis and Murder has their own face masks now, so you need to be wearing, if you're not wearing a face mask, you need to be wearing a Martinis and Murder face mask, preferably both. Which you can get at shopoxygen.com, and they're really cute, and they even have the LGBTQ pride logo. Ones, which I love. But, you know, I wanted to talk about New York City in general, John, because I know that you were here, and so I kind of wanted to just, like, go into that pretty quickly, because I saw on your, I want to say it was Facebook, that you basically had given, like, a rundown of facts, which were just so eloquently said, and it was just, it was really beautifully written, and it was just very easy to kind of understand. I think this was on your personal page, though, not Martinis and Murder, and, you know, essentially, you know, you're in Maryland right now, and I'm in New York City, and I know in a lot of different places, you know, radio and other podcasts that I talk about how easy it is to, like, get tested in Manhattan, and I know that recently you were asking me how it is in New York, and I was like, I don't know. The numbers have gone down and everyone seems like they're wearing masks. Like, I can't tell what it's like in other cities, but just because New York City is, like, so close, you're kind of, if you walk out on five streets, it's kind of like a good sampling of what's happening in New York City, even though I know there's different neighborhoods, but, like, it's not like LA where, like, the East Side could be completely different than the West Side.
Right.
And I kind of wanted to get your opinion from being from another state right now, because in my opinion, everyone in New York City just, like, is so desperate to get out of their shitty apartments that were, like, so fine about wearing masks to have the transmission rate go down. You know what I mean? Like, we're so incentivized.
I think you're right. Absolutely. I think that that is the biggest difference in why New York City in particular, but New York State as a whole, is doing so much better, is because you really can't, you know, if you don't
get the fuck out.
Yeah, if you don't follow the rules, you're stuck inside whether you like it or not, really, there. Whereas, you know, I think in Maryland where I am, you know, I have a car here. I'm, you know, able to drive to places I need to go. And there's a little more sort of autonomy here than I guess you could say in New York, where you are sort of required to use the subway if you want to get around the city. All of those things, that little, like, bubble of life in New York is a very different bubble than the rest of the country, frankly. So, yeah, so I came up for the weekend and,
what were you expecting? Like, because I know that you said in your Facebook post, I mean, I had sort of, what I thought was, like, a pretty good assessment considering I've lived here pretty much every day since, but, you know, as everyone told you, it was like a war zone here, right?
Well,
like,
it's so funny because the thing that, well, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I haven't lived there since March 16th.
Right.
I had moved to my new apartment then, which I'm in the process of, frankly, I'll just share, having someone take it over because I don't know when we're going to be back in the office, Darren, you and I. So, you know, for me, having that rent payment, you know, no longer there since I'm not living there is a great thing. But, you know, so that's kind of part of why I was up there this weekend. And, you know, while I was there, I was just so impressed because I live in a conservative area in Maryland. And Not that it's necessarily politics, but let's face it, there has been a lot of politics involved with mask wearing. That's just the reality that we live in, unfortunately.
And that's everywhere, too, even in New York,
No, yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah, yeah. Everywhere is experiencing it. But that being said, in this conservative town I live in, masks have been, for the most part, very visible. It's been, you know, everyone's been very much, you know, following the rules, so to speak. Got to New York, didn't surprise me. Everyone was wearing a mask. Everyone was social distancing. There are markers everywhere. You know, New York got hit the hardest, some could say, at least in the country. So to see it flourishing now, in a sense, and I don't know if that's like the right word, but it really did feel like life was not necessarily back to normal, but it was back to the new normal, where people can live their life. People can wear masks. People can go where they need to go, but they're not hanging out too much. And I was just so excited. The reason I posted that sort of update about New York was because when I got back to Maryland, I got a lot of like very weird looks about being in New York, because I think a lot of my friends that live in Maryland, some of my friends I'm talking to, you know, just catching up with on like, you know, text messaging or whatever, mm-hmm. who don't live in New York, everyone is just remembering the news from March and April, which was obviously one of the darkest times in New York City, I think we could all agree, for a long time, you know, with all the death and all of the cases. And they were associating those images and those headlines with what's going on now. And I had to be like, no, actually the rest of the country, like Maryland, frankly, you know, my part of the state is doing okay. The rest of the state is seeing a little bit of an uptick. And I was like, no, actually New York is doing really, really well. And I highlighted the total number of hospitalizations, which as of July 26 was only 642, which was an enormous decline from mid-April when it was 18,000 one day, or actually for several days. And, know, for a state and that has 20 million people in it and however many million live in New York City alone, that is a fantastic number. So right. I had to sort of reiterate that to friends and family that may, you know, thought I was walking back into what we were seeing mid-April. But the reality is, one of the other things that I took out of this that I didn't quite put in my little Facebook post, Aaron, is that it really is, and I remember Governor Cuomo saying this very early on, and it kind of stuck with me then, but it really has become more apparent now, is it's not state by state, it's almost region by region, because, mm-hmm. you know, a great example is New York, and another example is Maryland, where New York City is obviously a very different place in New York than, you know, upstate New York, where it's like cow country and there's hardly any people.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah. you're, you know, I don't necessarily think if your closest neighbor is 6 miles away and you're living in the forest, right. I don't think you really need to be wearing a mask, you know. And in right. general, you know, I mean, I think the thing that we've learned about this, and granted, these kind of updates and facts change all the time, is it's exactly. it's really not about walking by someone in the street, right? Like, you're not going to get it from that. It's close encounters, it's indoor, it's people yelling. What I find ironic is I've seen people on the streets of New York, like late at night. And so I'm talking about late at night, so there's less mm-hmm. people and a time where you can socially distance, like screaming at other people to wear masks. And while I understand that sentiment, I'm right. also like, you screaming at that person is transmitting a risk. Potential exactly. disease. So right. what the fuck are you doing? You know what yeah. I mean? Like, yeah. it's gotten to be the point where a lot of it is, I feel like it's causing like further separation of people sometimes. And I think yeah. people need to be reasonable about when they want to yell at other people. You know, like, I'm wearing a mask all the time and I get it, but like, listen, if you're standing outside 10 feet apart from someone
blowing
and that's
hot
it,
air.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like walking by someone quickly.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
you're not getting it from that. You know what I mean? So like be yeah. reasonable, I think people. But like it's obvious that when you're walking into a grocery store or dry cleaners or a library or where mm-hmm. you're going to walk indoors, like wear the mask because you're
it's
only going to be
easy.
In there temporarily. Like.
Yeah, it's so easy too. This is the other thing that really bothers me. It's like, there's nothing. I will say this though. I remember back in March, I had first arrived here in Maryland. I had gone to the grocery store, one of the first times I had gone to a grocery store, and I had to wear a mask. Well, actually, at that point, it was only suggested. You know, mask wearing has come a long way in the last couple of months. But I remember being like, oh, am I going to wear a mask? Am I going to be like looked at and treated differently? You know, and I remember, I'm sure we all had that kind of feeling in the beginning, the first time you put on a mask to protect yourself. Now, though, we are so far along in this pandemic. We know so much more about it. We know that masks are dramatically improve the favorability of these numbers. So what is the issue? It's just, I don't know if I'm just dumb. I just can't grab onto the fact that people are against wearing a mask. I just don't get it. If you want to function in society and not kill other people, why wouldn't you want to wear a mask? I don't know.
I'll say this, and then I think we could move on, but I will say that there is a lot of things in this country and in this world that people wholeheartedly believe in that there's no evidence for at all, and people run their whole lives based on these things.
Yes, I think I know what you're referencing. Yes.
So all I'm saying is, this isn't surprising to me at all is going down. That's all I'll say. There's plenty of things that people do not base their lives on based on any evidence for. I mean, to be honest with you, there are still people who think that the Earth is flat.
That's true.
And that evolution doesn't exist. Like, you know what I mean? Like, these are things that, like, a lot of people, probably more people than who aren't wearing masks, believe in. And I'm, like, sitting over here, you know, utterly flabbergasted that people have absolutely no problem believing something wholeheartedly without absolutely any evidence for. So it doesn't shock me. It might be stupid, but it's not surprising to me as well.
No, you're right. But obviously, you know, if you haven't picked up on it by now, guys, everyone who's listening, Darren and I are very pro-mask. We want all of you to live happy lives and listen to our stories forever. End of story.
It's just an easy solution. What I want to know, though, is, and this is perfect because this is in our item to-do list.
Okay.
Are Pokemon wearing masks in the world right now?
Yes. Well, there's good news. Since Pokemon are not humans, they are not susceptible to COVID-19 and are not wearing masks, at least in Pokemon Go.
At least today, we don't think that Pokemon are susceptible. Anything could change, John.
Anything could change with science. We'll find out for sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I'm glad you mentioned this because when I was in New York this weekend, I did participate in Pokemon Go Fest.
Isn't it normally in Chicago?
It's normally in Chicago, where I have gone two of the last 3 years. Yes, that's correct. However,
we know that, sweetie.
However, for obvious reasons, there was not a large gathering this year in Chicago. And so it was a virtual Pokemon Go Fest where the events happened in the game like they would for ticket holders. But anybody on Earth could pay to participate and you could play, you know, basically you pay for it and it unlocks more experiences within the game.
Okay, so you don't have to go, because I thought the thing was like, wherever you go, actually physically, you know, like 59th Street in Manhattan versus 110th Street in Manhattan, you could find different Pokemon. So how did they do that this time?
Yeah, so basically there were, you know, certain exclusive Pokemon that were unlocked in the game, you know, if you paid for your ticket, and you could literally go anywhere. You could stay at home. There are features in the game where Pokemon can pop up wherever you are so that you don't have to go, you know, walk around the neighborhood or anything like that. But, you know, luckily, like I said, in New York, where everything is somewhat normal, at least for now, I did get together with some friends. We all wore masks. We all stayed very far away from each other.
How hot was it this weekend in New York City, though? Because I must have dropped 20 pounds.
Like, I don't think people understand. Like, people think that because New York City is in the Northeast, that it's like, oh, it's never really that hot.
It's the humidity.
It is the humidity. July and August are so terrible. So it was so hot on Saturday and Sunday. Monday, I got back to Maryland on Sunday, and then Monday I woke up, and I had the worst, like, you know those humidity headaches?
Yes, please.
You get headaches from just the humidity. And then I took a Zyrtec, Darren. You know, my allergies are always something I'm considering. And I felt a lot better. But, like, Monday, my head felt like it was going to explode. And I think it was the dramatic change in the heat. But it's been hot here in Maryland. But I had my, you know, my little, what are they called? Alexa, Amazon Echoes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Alexa turned on. Stop. So I have an Echo Show, which is like, it looks like a little clock and it has a screen and it gives mm-hmm. you like updates. And I had mine set to New York City still, even though I've been here in Maryland and I didn't realize. But the other night at like 9 o'clock at night, it said it was 98 degrees in New York City.
It was.
And I was like,
it was like
what?
At the dead of night, even if it says, oh, it's 85, you have to go to real feel. Because totally. The humidity, it's like walking outside and you're like in a swimming pool without any of yeah. the refreshing qualities of being in one. And it's just been like, you know, I'm a big walker, as you know. You know, I try and go out on at least like hour, 2 hour walk every single day. Mm-hmm. And lately, it's like at the end of that hour, I am so tired.
Oh, of course.
Like I am just purely spent that I can't do anything except honestly sit on my couch. Like it's... Yeah. I feel kind of pathetic, but it's like, it's so draining here. It's nuts.
And you know what it is too, is I didn't quite realize this, is that the pavement of the streets in New York just bakes and bakes all day long.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't really cool off overnight. And then it's just perpetual oven status there.
But I am kind of happy not to commute on that subway though.
I was like, just going to ask you about that. Have you been on the subway much?
I actually was on the subway yesterday because we actually got to go into our office. We had to set up these, not NBC Universal, a different office that I work for, because I have three. We had to set up these time, like, slotted things. So, you know, you're only in there by yourself because we had to clean up our desks. Because they're moving us to be more socially distanced. But obviously, they didn't want to touch our stuff. They could if we weren't available. But you got to, like, pack it up. Mm-hmm. So I went into the office for the first time since the beginning of March, only went in there, which isn't atypical. And it was like a fucking ghost town. So I took the subway down there. And I just remember being on the subway and I was like, you know, if you remember, I get my hair and makeup done for my People TV reality check, or at least I did when mm-hmm. I was in the studio. And obviously, because you see me after my show, I'm makeuped, you know, I have way more makeup on than I do normally. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm on the subway, kind of like, thank God, because the cakey makeup mixed with whatever outfit I'm wearing, like it would make my skin probably break out to no end.
Oh, for sure.
You know, just sweating on that subway. So I was kind of happy about it.
It's funny you say that because my skin has been breaking out and it's right where my masks have been, because I've been wearing a mask so often over the weekend in New York City when I was out and about. And I'm definitely breaking out a little bit.
I think they're calling it like maskne or macne or something. So acne. I've heard this before. And I was like, I totally relate, because you're like breathing on yourself, you know, and it's fucking hot and sweating.
And then it's like irritating your skin as well. So that's the other thing.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Darren, I also want to say, oh, sorry, we're going to say something?
No, go.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm very disappointed in myself because I really wanted to see you in a social distance setting over the weekend, but I was so busy, not just with Pokemon Go. I was hoping to see you Sunday when it wasn't necessarily Pokemon Go day. And I was so busy, like, getting some things out of my apartment, and I had a rental car, so I had to bring that back to Maryland. But I just want you to know I will see you again, hopefully sometime in August.
I mean, even Matt reached out thinking if we could get together. And do you really want to be worse than Matt?
Matt is lurking on the show. He's, like, on, but, like, doing other stuff. But, wow, that would be very, like, that would actually crush me if you guys got together without me. Like, I would be really upset about that, I think.
First Renee Stubbs, who I'm seeing on Friday again, and now Matt.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Sorry, John.
Friends from everybody.
Bye, John.
Do you have a announcement you wanted to share, by the way?
Yeah, so I can finally announce this. I've been working on this tiny talk show thing for, like, 6 fucking years with my friend Alex Diaz, and we sold it to Quibi, and Marseille Martin, the Blackish star, if any of you out there watch Blackish, she's like the 16-year-old girl, Marseille Martin. She's so fucking cool. She's literally the epitome of just awesome. We got her to host the show. So we sold it to Quibi, and we're going to go into production, you know, as soon as things kind of are able to come back again. But it finally got announced, and so I'm excited.
Congratulations!
Thank you. So now, everyone will have to check it out because I'm executive producing it.
You are executive producing it. You hosted. What are you calling those ones you released on Instagram? Pilot episodes, or
yeah, they were kind of like our test run to see if it was like a proof of concept, which it was enough to sell it.
Do you think that me being a guest on it helped you sell the whole show, and do I get any credits? Let me know.
So shockingly enough, obviously when we had been working on the show, which has been 6 years, but really last summer when we kind of started this, and you had joined like previously when that we did you remotely, remember?
Yes,
so you were
right.
Like a TV head, and you were the only one who couldn't do it in person. And so it was a really good opportunity to check out the tech. Well, oddly enough,
that
helped create a proof of concept for COVID times.
Oh, right. I was ahead of the curve, so to speak, with you.
Exactly. So we knew that tech could actually work remotely.
Wow. And
not ideal for a talk show, obviously, because you want them in person. And, you know, there's certain guidelines we have to abide by, like kind of creating two halves of the set. And then eventually you kind of put them together in post. So that way there's no contamination. There's a lot of ways to work around it. But we used your episode as this proof of concept of what could work in a pandemic. So it did work.
Where do you want to know where to send my checks? Or like where exactly?
Yeah, no. I sent them. You know, if you didn't get them. Yeah, if you didn't get them yet, that's kind of on
you. I haven't been in New York for a while, so I should check.
Exactly. Yeah, no. It's there. I'm sure it's there.
I'm just joking. But I am so happy to hear that. That is like.
Thank you.
By the way, I love that you're selling television shows. You have 3 offices. Like, you are an inspiration to women everywhere, so I'm very proud of you.
I'm not only to women, not to men.
Well, to men, sure, but definitely women, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it doesn't count, you know, unless it's also to men. But I also want to say that 2 things in terms I've been watching, just in terms of media consumption. So I was on GMA on Saturday.
Good morning. Yes.
Good Morning America. And I pitched Alone, which I have I told you guys about last week, that survivalist show.
Oh, right.
And I gave like, I usually get a 3-minute segment to talk about 3 different things.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, rough it around 45 seconds apiece because you have to give time for the host to intro the clips, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, but feel free. Like if you want to talk long on something, you know, and not on others, that's totally fine. I literally ended up talking about Alone for like 2.5 minutes.
You love this show.
I was obsessed. And then I like watched too much. Like I overloaded my binge. Like I had ripped through season 6. I ripped through season 1. I've caught up on season 7. And I was like, okay, I need to like take a step back because I'm thinking about how to survive, like thinking what I can make fire out of in my apartment, sitting next to lighters. And this is not good.
Right.
So I started watching, finally on my list, that everyone, especially everyone on the Martinis and Murder Facebook page had been doing, All Be Gone in the Dark.
Yes.
Which, you know, thinking? I love it. I mean, you know, Michelle McNamara is obviously just a legend in terms of her writing, her true crime blog. But, like, the Golden State Killer, Paul Holes, like, everything that you and I have been sort of talking about and working around, you know, considering the fact that it was our very first episode to now when we're, you know, over 150 episodes, I've just learned so much about gathering evidence and like armchair detectives and what Michelle's kind of process was to go through it. Now, obviously she hours and months, but like just taking on my true crime hat, I felt like I was a better watcher because I understood it more. And I believe the final episode airs this Sunday. I'm about halfway through. So, John, I highly recommend it.
I will be.
It's on HBO, but I do highly recommend it. It's really, really well done.
I think I can, you know, let go of my grip of Peacock to go over and watch something on HBO. That's fine. That's no problem.
I think it's fine.
Don't you think, let me ask you this, because I don't know if we've ever really talked about this. Do you feel as a true crime podcaster that doing this show, going to Crime Con, working with Oxygen, don't you feel like your like armchair detective skill set has vastly improved just by being like exposed to so many different cases on a constant basis?
Yeah, I feel like I can at least understand like a different side of things and that like things aren't so obvious all the time. You know what I mean? And like, I mean, I do find that I'm not a big conspiracy theorist as we sort of know. And, you know, I find that the more outlandish statement it's kind of like Occam's razor, you know, the simplest solution tends to be the right one in a lot of these cases, but weird things do happen and it's nice putting on this like rational.
Totally.
Mindset for it, and it does. I think it makes me a better viewer, but also, you know, hopefully just a better citizen because I'm paying attention to
that's
things
true
more.
yeah, totally,
and that's really how crimes get solved, you know. Sometimes it is through citizens, and for example, I know I was talking about Unsolved Mysteries Forever. Obviously the old ones on Peacock are so important, but the six new ones on Netflix, apparently Netflix got like inundated with tips. So that's like, I mean, come on, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and there's even like a reopening of investigations from that. And I just, you know, even that and just the various podcasts, you know, podcasters we've heard of over the years and actually have befriended, it's like, it's crazy to me that sometimes it's literally media companies that release these podcasts and television shows that lead to breaks in these cases. It's just, what is going on in the world that, like, you know, investigators or other people aren't really, well, maybe it's not that they're not doing their jobs. I guess we're sort of crowdsourcing information in a way that we never have before in media.
Well, you know? Think about it, because like, especially back in the day, but if you have like citizen detectives, armchair detectives, whatever we're going to call them, they're already a task force.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
You're so
And police didn't have that before. And police are also focusing on thousands of cases at once. This really shows, especially with the Golden State Killer, because if you remember, he traveled around.
Right.
Just like how important it was to really talk to other police precincts. But, you know, citizen detectives they are task forces.
Totally.
All over the country and the world. So that's why it's kind of helpful.
Speaking of Golden State Killer, did you happen to know he was a police officer by any chance? Did you hear that?
No, I never knew.
I did say that in the first episode, and then he was.
Oh, I blanked that out. Yeah,
you blanked it out.
That episode.
You deleted that episode.
Yeah, I just deleted it. Yeah.
One last thing here, and then we're going to get to something else. But I did want to say, when you were just talking about the task force, this is a good connection, Darren, to Pokemon Go, if I can bring it back for one second.
Do I want to know how this is connecting to Pokemon
You
Go?
Do. It's interesting.
Okay,
so one of my favorite Pokemon Go YouTubers, yes, I have a favorite. His name is Nick, and he goes by Trainer Tips, and he does a great, hugely successful like YouTube series every day or every other day. Well, he had this is like separate in his personal life. He had a trailer that attached to the back of his car, like most people do, and he would take it camping, et cetera, et cetera. It was like, you know, it was big. It was like an 11-foot trailer. Someone stole it out of his driveway.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has no idea how. His house didn't have, like, Ring cameras. There's no footage. Police are like, yeah, okay, thanks. We'll look for it, but probably won't find it. Well, he sends out a message. He's from Southern California to his Pokemon Go followers across YouTube, across social media. People find his trailer while they're playing Pokemon Go. tell the police, he gets his trailer back. Now, how amazing is that?
What?
Isn't that crazy? While they were playing Pokemon Go, during Go Fest over the weekend, find his trailer. And he made such a good point in one of his videos. He was like, I have a larger task force of followers than the police looking for my car or looking for my trailer. And I was like, wow, you're actually kind of right about that. But anyway, it was like good news, you know, that he was able to get his trailer back thanks to Pokemon Go, essentially.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, amazing, that's pretty, maybe I shouldn't shit all over Pokemon Go anymore.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't. By the way, if anyone ever stole anything of mine, I hope our listeners would like, you know, go out into the streets and look for it, like his fans. That would be amazing.
I mean, if Jigglypuff can find the fucking van, then yes, all of us can, in my opinion.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, Darren, one last thing before we go. Did you want to mention the Kim and Kanye stuff?
Well, I mean, I thought maybe by this week there was going to be some divorce announcements or something. And obviously, like, I mean, not to make light of it, because, you know, clearly there's a mental health issue going on here. And, you know, there's children involved. And I certainly don't want to make a mockery of anything like that. I mean, I will say, as weird as it is, like, my heart kind of goes out to Kim and the family, because it seems, from everything we've been reading on TMZ, I'm not saying that's like, oh, that's truth and that's fact. It just kind of seems like she, and I don't want to say she can't control him, but like she doesn't know what to expect from him.
Well, totally.
More so, yeah. You know, and that's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, yeah. And for anyone who isn't aware, just basically Kanye has had a very public, I don't know what the right word to say is. He's just been going through a lot and making it public. I think that's the best way to say that. And I think like late last week, Kim posted something on her Instagram about just like giving him space and please forgive him for, you know, what he's going through, which, you know what, it's so true. And it's something I find myself, especially with Kanye, it's like there's always something in the media about Kanye doing this or Kanye doing that. And, you know, it seems so entertaining. So we all, you know, it gets talked about and pop culture, like it's entertainment, but it's really not entertainment. He, you know, there's something that this man is going through that we shouldn't just sit back and laugh or giggle or be concerned about even. Like it's his life that should not be on a public stage in such an intimate way. But you know what? You're right. I think it's connected to mental health, and we're obviously very big mental health advocates here. So hopefully he's, you know, getting the right thing, the right treatment, so to speak, if that's what he needs.
I hope. You know, we're going to see how this kind of all plays out. Are we kind of under the assumption that this presidential bid is not happening? Didn't I hear that it was potentially 2024? I mean, you know, these are just statements. It doesn't really mean anything, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I had heard, you know, he sort of entered, and then the following week, like a spokesperson or something was like, he does not intend to run for president. And then like, then he held a rally. So I was like, well, what is it? I don't know. Obviously, like, I don't think he legally even can. Like, I don't think he can be on the ballots in a lot of states at this point. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he can either. But I also just think, like, you know, I mean, it doesn't look good to encourage celebrities to run for president ever.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's not something that I ever really want to encourage, because I think that makes a mockery of
experience
of the political system. You know what I mean? And I think that you can think what you want about the president now, which I think we all know where we have come from, but the answer to that isn't to combat it with more mockery and inexperience and having another celebrity. You know what I mean?
There you go. I think that's very well put. Well, Darren, we talked a lot on this Another Shot.
Let's get out of here and let's get drunk.
Yeah, let's go get drunk. We'll see you guys Sunday with our very drinky drunky episode.
Bye.
Bye.